Bismillah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudillalah wa man yudlil fala hadiyalah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluh. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. Inshallah, this is the first lesson or jalsa or sitting or gathering as it relates to our intent of going through the Qawaid al-Muthla from Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen al-Alama rahimahullah ta'ala. Qawaid al-Muthla, the excellent or the precise Qawaid, the precise principles as it relates or concerning the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's sufficient, the title is sufficient enough for us to know the importance of this book and to know the importance of this lesson and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to seek ilm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to seek ilm. Allah has praised those who seek ilm. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ دَرَجَةً. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He raises those who seek, who have knowledge from amongst you. And He raises, and those who believe from amongst you, and He raises those who have knowledge in levels, yani higher levels, showing the virtue of seeking ilm. Showing the virtue of seeking ilm. And there isn't a better knowledge than the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge of His tawheed. Knowledge of the establishing of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, with no partners. As this is the purpose of our creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنْ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I've not created the jinn and mankind except to worship Him alone. Worship me alone, Allah said. To worship Him alone, to establish Tawheed. So this book that we're going to do, Ya Ikhwan, it's something which some of you may know. Some things you know, or some things you don't know. Some things are new to you. Some things are old, but it's all the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all part of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this knowledge that we are studying is to be acted upon. Otherwise, it can be like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The Quran hujjatun laka alayk." So, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in the authentic hadith that the Quran is a proof for you or against you. It's a proof for you if you apply the ilm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, the knowledge that you've attained, ma'allamakum Allah, that which that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the tawfiq to learn. That you apply this, and it's hujjatun alayk, it's a proof against you when you're not acting upon this knowledge. A, you're not applying it in your aqidah, you're not applying it in your creed, you're not applying it in your ibadah and your status of a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah ta'ala, Qawaid al-Muthla is an amazing book done by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih ibn Uthaymeen, rahmatullahi alayhi al-alama al-faqih, rahmatullahi alayhi. And he's categorized his book into four main categories. Into four or shall I say five main categories, I would say. The first one is an introduction. The first one is a muqaddimah or muqaddama. The first one's an introduction, and the second is the qawa'id fil asma'illahi al-husna, or asma'illah, I should say. And that the second is the principles relating or concerning the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third bab, he's put into al-bu'ab, the third chapter is al-qawa'id fi sifatillah. And that is the principles as it relates to the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the second chapter, he mentions seven principles. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions seven principles. And as it relates to the third chapter, which is the chapter related to sifat, his attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he puts forth seven principles again. So therefore you have 14 principles as it relates to the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth chapter is Adillatul Asma'i wa Sifat. The fourth chapter is the proofs and evidences as it relates to Allah's names and His attributes. The proofs and evidences as it relates to Allah's names and His attributes. And the fifth chapter is the Shubahat, Raddu ala Shubahat, Raddu ala Shubahat. Is a refutation against some misconceptions, yani obviously related to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His attributes. So it's a very concise and exemplary treaty or ta'leef from this ilama, rahimahullah ta'ala. And we start today, inshallah ta'ala, with the muqaddimah. Inshallah, we deal with the muqaddimah. Is a muqaddimah nafisa, is a very succinct, a very concise, precise, beneficial muqaddimah. And we'll be using, inshallah, today, the explanation of Al-Alama Ubayd Al-Jabiri, Hafidhu Allah Ta'ala, and some explanations also from Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, who himself has explained his book. So we take some benefits from him also, and in the coming weeks, we'll also take some benefits from the explanation of Sheikh Al-Alama, rahimahullah ta'ala, Muhammad Aman Jami, rahimahullah. Inshallah, and he's very, very excellent explanation of Qawaid al-Muthla. A Sheikh Al-Mu'allif, who's the Mu'allif, Ikhwan? Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen. Qala, rahimahullah ta'ala, alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu, wa nasta'inuhu, wa nastaghfiruhu, wa natubu ilayh. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان وسلم تسليما وبعد فإن الإيمان بأسماء الله وصفاته أحد أركان الإيمان بالله تعالى وهي الإيمان بوجود الله تعالى والإيمان بربوبيته والإيمان بألوهيته والإيمان بأسمائه وصفاته وتوحيد الله به وتوحيد الله به أحد أقسام التوحيد الثلاثة توحيد الربوبية أولا ثانيا توحيد الألوهية ثالثا توحيد الأسماء والصفات فمنزلته نعم فمنزلته في الدين عالية وأهميته عظيمة ولا يمكن لأحد أن يعبد الله على وجه الأكمل حتى يكون على علم بأسماء الله تعالى وصفاته ليعبده على بصيرة قال الله تعالى ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها وهذا يشمل دعاء المسألة ودعاء العبادة فدعاء المسألة أن تقدم بين يدي مطلوبك من أسمائه الله تعالى ما يكون مناسبا مثل أن تقول يا غفور اغفر لي يا رحيم ارحمني يا حفيظ احفظني ونحو ذلك ودعاء العبادة أن تتعبد الله تعالى بمقتضى هذه الأسماء فتقوم بتوبة إليه لأنه التواب وتذكره بلسانك لأنه السميع وتتعبد له بجوارحك لأنه البصير وتخشاه في السر لأنه اللطيف الخبير وهكذا ومن أجل منزلته هذه ومن أجل كلام الناس فيه بالحق تارة وبالباطل الناشئ عن الجهل أو التعصب تارة أخرى أحببت أن أكتب فيه ما تيسر من القواعد راجيا من الله تعالى أن يجعل عملي خالصا لوجهه موافقا لمرضاته نافعا لعباده وسميته القواعد المثلى في صفات الله تعالى وأسمائه الحسنى. So this is the muqaddimah, this is the introduction of the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala. And I do advise that you accompany yourselves with the English translation, because it's translated, of this Qawaid al-Muthla. And inshallah you can buy it, hopefully, from Dar al-Sunnah, inshallah ta'ala, in the coming weeks or so. The Shaykh, and it's a good translation. It's a good translation, mashallah, tabarakallah. The Shaykh says, Alhamdulillah bil alameen. Yani Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu. He says, I praise Allah and I seek assistance and forgiveness. Or we seek assistance and forgiveness for him and we repent to him. And we seek refuge in him from the evil of ourselves and from the evil of our deeds. Shaykh Ubaid, Hafidhullah ta'ala, regarding this, he mentioned, he said, وتضمن الخطبة الكتاب عموما, that this khutbah, that this introduction has a lot of benefits. The first benefit, we stop at it here, and that is the statement of the Shaykh, Alhamdulillah. The first benefit from this muqaddama is his statement, Alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah. All praise be to Allah. And this Alhamd, this Al is Al al-Istighraq. Alhamd, this Al is Al al-Istighraq. يعني الاستغراق mean encompassing over encompassing now, meaning that it's all praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise, indefinite praise, is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When there's praise, is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise is for him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is alhamd. And then the Shaykh Ubaid Hafidhullah ta'ala, he mentioned as in relates to this, that this is the methodology of the ulama. This is the methodology of the ulama when they author, that they begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the methodology of the ulama, that they begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the sunnah in the Quran. How do we know this, ikhwan? And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began with alhamdulillah, began the Quran, bil alhamdulillah. Surah al-Fatiha, alhamdulillah. All praise be to Allah. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in four other surah, in the Quran, he began Alhamdulillah. What were those surahs, ikhwan? An'am? Kahf? Fatir and? Sabah, na'am. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in totality began with Alhamdulillah five places in the Quran. And the first of those is Surah Al-Fatiha. And the second of those is Surah Al-An'am. And the third is Surah Al-Kahf. Sabah is the fourth. And the fifth is Surah Al-Fatir. So this is from the methodology of the Quran, and this is from the tamassuk of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala to the sunnah and to the wahi, in that he began how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began, nabda kama bada Allahu bi. We start, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith, we start how Allah began, and he began with alhamd. And this alhamd, ya ikhwan, as the Shaykh says, hafidhullah ta'ala, he said that this is absolute thanaf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an absolute compliment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he, rahimahullah ta'ala, he showed as a proof of his thanaf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by what came afterwards. And that is number one, al-isti'adha billah. And that is seeking refuge in Allah. And him seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a proof of one praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of him being the one that you seek refuge in, he deserves all praise. And the second is al-isti'ana, where he said nasta'inu, where he said isti'ana, yani seeking assistance. And this again is a proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that deserves all indefinite praise, because he is the one that you seek aid with. And the third is istighfar. And he's seeking forgiveness in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is again what indicates that he subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that deserved the complete hamd, the complete praise. And finally he said, wa natubu ilay. He said, and we repent to him. And this again is a proof of Allah's hamd, that Allah is the one who deserves to be praised indefinitely. And this is from the sunnah of the Quran, as we find in Surah Al-An'am. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or should we say first of all Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, and then Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. All praises to Allah, and then the reason why He's the one that deserves all praise is because He's the most merciful and the most bestower of mercy. And then Maliki Yawmiddin. He's the owner of the day of judgment. Hey, that, hence that's why he deserves to be to receive indefinite hamd. And likewise in Surah Al-An'am, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Alhamdulillah alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal ard wa ja'ala adh-dhulumati wa an-nur. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the hamd is for Allah, that the praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what came after that, ikhwan? Khalaqa as-samawati wa al-ard. The reasons and the proofs that He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who deserves all praise is He's the creator of the heavens and the earth, and the one who made the night and the day and nights. So here, Shaykh Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala, which is the first benefit, is following the sunnah of the Quran and the usloob and the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses in His ta'leef. And this is how we as people of the sunnah need to be. And this is an example that the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala has given. And then he says, afterwards, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهِ لِلَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Shaykh Ubaid, he said, I testify that there's none that deserves to be worshipped in reality except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is His slave and messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the second point here the Shaykh mentioned is Muqaddima. And Shaykh Ubaid, hafidhullah ta'ala, said that he started again in the process of his Muqaddima, the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He started with the wahdaniyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and testifying that He is the only one that deserves to be worshipped alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. And then the Shaykh said, this is the two shahadatain yatimmu lil abdu bihin. This is the two testification that the abd needs to do, to make in order to become a Muslim. In order to become a Muslim. And that is tajridul ikhlas. And that is singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone in worship, sincerely, purely for Him subhanahu wa tajridul mutaba'ah. And that is singling out the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in obedience and mutaba'ah and compliance and so forth. So then the Shaykh asks a question. As it relates to the shahada of to testify that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, how does one make this reality? It's enough that one professes it on the tongue, but how does one make the in reality his testification that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah? And the Shaykh says that وَتَحْقِيقُ شَهَادَةُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يَتَضَمَّنُ أَرْبَعَةُ Umur. He said that in order to reactualize the testification that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it comprises or contains four affairs. The first one is ta'atuhu fima amar. The first of those is obeying Him in that which He has commanded, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the second is tasdiquhu fima akhbar. And that is believing and having conviction in that which He has informed us. In that which He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has informed us. And the third is ijtinabu ma naha anhu wa zajar. And that is staying away from that which He has prohibited, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which He detests. And the fourth one is what? An la ya'budu allaha illa bima shara. And that is that you do not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except with that which He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has legislated. Except that which is according to His sunnah. So in this you find that an individual who establishes these four things has reactualized and made in reality the testification that he professed on his tongue. The testification that he professed on his tongue. And then Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, after sending salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, wa ba'd. He said, wa ba'd. And after that, he said, yani to proceed. Fa'inna. And then he said, fa'inna. After saying to proceed, and verily, the belief in Allah's names and His attributes is one of the pillars of Iman. He said, it's one of the pillars of Iman. And Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, continually said that these pillars of Iman are four. The pillars of Iman are four. The pillars of Iman are four. And the first of those is the belief in the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Imanu biwujudillah. The first pillar is the belief in the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, the second is the Iman and the belief in the Lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His rububiyyah. And the third is Iman and belief in His uluhiyyah, in His servitude, that He is the one that deserves to be worshipped alone. Tawheed al-uluhiyyah or Tawheed al-ibadah. And the fourth is al-imanu bi asma'ihi wa sifati. And the fourth is belief in His names and His attributes. And Ibn Uthaymeen, in his explanation of this maqta, in his explanation of this, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that the individual who does not believe in the existence of Allah is not a Muslim. And the individual that doesn't believe in the total rububiyyah, not just rububiyyah, the total complete lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not a believer. Even if he believes in some of the rububiyyah of Allah, Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, even if he believes in some of the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's still not a Muslim. He has to believe in what? The entire rububiyyah and lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise is uluhiyyah. The individual that worships other than Allah is not from those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the muqaddimah that he brought to show the link between the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And its importance in that is one of the pillars of Iman in Allah. It's one of the major pillars in the belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he, point number four, you could say, rahimahullah ta'ala, he deals with the... Aynam. The arkan, the pillars, the belief in Allah. These are the pillars and the belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is actually from the Matan. It's actually in the text. It's the belief in the pillars of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's four. What are they, ikhwan? The first is? The existence of Allah. Belief in the existence of Allah. Second? The belief in the what? Lordship. Some or all? Entire lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-mulku lillah. Okay, entire lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And third is what? The uluhiyyah, servitude. And the fourth is full and iman in Allah's names and His attributes. And that is what we're going to be doing in the next few weeks as it relates to iman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His names and His attributes. And then the Shaykh talks about the categories, aqsam. So the first part he mentioned was the arkan, which is the pillars. And then he's now talking about the what? The aqsam of tawheed. The aqsam of a tawheed. And this is something that we know, some of us, with our tongues. Is this something that we apply? Is it something that we study? Does it increase our iman? Do we have ilm on the adilla from the Quran and Sunnah as it relates to these aqsam? Because it's imperative that we know this. This is from the fundamentals. So Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, he fervently explained that the categories of tawheed are three. That is a tawheed of His rububiyyah, singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bi af'alihi, ifradullahi ta'ala bi af'alihi. Tawheed al-rububiyyah, its definition is ifradullahi ta'ala bi af'alihi. And that is singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His actions. Singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His actions. Tawheed al-rububiyyah. And the second category, salamakumullah, is tawheed al-uluhiyyah. And that is the tawheedullahi bi af'ali ibad. Tawheedullahi bi af'al al-ibad. And that is the singling out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the actions of who? The slave. So rububiyyah is whose actions? And uluhiyyah is the actions of? And it's all what? Tawheed. It's all tawheed. And the third category is the tawheed of his names and attributes. And that is affirming that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirmed for himself, or it's been affirmed on the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Affirming that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirmed for himself in his Quran, and that which is affirmed for him subhanahu wa ta'ala in his names and his attributes in the Sunnah al-Mutahhara, the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Ibn Uthaymeen is doing ta'sis. He's laying down the foundations in that which what comes after is built. And this is from the usloob and the manners and the way of the ulama in teaching, in that they build the foundations. So now we have the pillars of the iman of Allah. And we also have the categories of tawheed in general. Now the Sheikh Ubaid, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he then went on and he said, the next section of the Muqaddimah of Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, Sheikh Ubay said, Al-Rabi'a, bayanu sababi ta'leef al-kitab. That Ibn Uthaymeen is now letting us know the reasons why he actually authored this book. And Ibn Uthaymeen, Sheikh Ubay said that, wahasiluhu amran. وَحَاسِلُهُ أَمْرًا. He said that the reasons that Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen authored this book is of two, or there are two reasons. It's summarized in two reasons. Now, this is the usloob that we need to take when we're going through the books. Remember in the last lesson when we done Bulugh al-Maram, we had to do with what first? Huh? The Muqaddimah, the introduction, so we can know what the author intends by his author, the book that he authored, so we can get the full benefit that he intends to deliver to us. So likewise here is happening here. Sheikh Muthaymeen, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, فَإِنَّ الْإِيمَانِ نَعْمُ. He said, فَمَنْزِلَتُهُ فِي الدِّينِ عَلِيًا وَأَهْمِيَتُهُ عَظِيمًا. He said that the station of the iman in Allah's names and his attribute is high and lofty, and it has utmost great importance. The iman of Allah in his names and his attributes, its station in the deen of Islam is high, lofty. And this is the reason why he authored this book, because of its station in the deen of Islam and its importance. And the second, as relates to the importance of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will talk about that more so later, inshallah. The second main reason that he authored this book, Sheikh Ubaid Hafidhullah ta'ala explains, huwa khawdu nasi fi takallumihim fihi wa laysa kullil mutakallim ala al-huda wa sawab. He said, because of the fact that people, yani the second reason why he authored this book, is because of the fact that people have busied themselves and have entered and spoke about the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَيْسَ كُلِّ الْمُتَكَلِّمِينَ عَلَى هُدَى وَصَوَابٍ. And not every individual that is speaking or has spoken about the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was upon guidance and correctness. So therefore the Shaykh wants to clarify the correct belief in the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his attributes. And that is taken from the statement of the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, where he mentioned that the people who deviated from the correct belief and the correct aqidah in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are of two categories, generally. He categorized them in two. And he said that the first of those is the jahil. is the one that has no knowledge. He is ignorant. So he speaks without ilm, and then he errs and makes errors regarding the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, the second is the muta'assib, is the one that is fanatic. He's clingy to his sheikh, or he's clingy to his qabila, or he's clingy to his people, so he believes as they believe, ahead of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to believe. So he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, these are the two main reasons. And then in his explanation of Qaid al-Muthla, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, أَيُّهُمَا أَقْرَبُ إِلَى الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ, he asks. So I ask you, who is closer to correctness from these two? The ignorant one or the fanatic? The jahil. The jahil is closer to the truth. Why? Because if he's sincere, he can learn. But as for the muta'assib, the one who is fanatic, he'll never learn. He'll be stubborn upon his innovation. He'll be stubborn upon his deviant belief in Allah's names and his attributes. So Shaykh Muthaymin said, so this is from the reasons why he's authored this book, because of the presence of these two categories. The presence of the ignorant one, so the Shaykh can give you the correct principles, so then we can learn. And from learning the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it softens the heart and increases the person in iman in Allah. Increases the person in the iman in that which Allah has revealed. And therefore he stays away from what? Ta'assub. He stays away from ta'assub. So Shaykh Ubaid rahimahullah ta'ala, he then said that this methodology, or this tariqah that Shaykh Muthaymin has taken in this ta'leef, is from those who came before him, from the Salaf, from the Firqatul Najiyah, from those who are from the safe sect. The one that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kana ala ma ana alayhi al-yawm wa ashabi," those who are upon what I'm upon today and my companions. These are the people of the haqq. These are the people whose aqidah is built upon that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was revealed to, that was revealed to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the sunnah, upon the same aqidah as Abu Bakr, upon the same aqidah as Umar, upon the same aqidah as Uthman, upon the same aqidah as Ali, and upon the same aqidah as the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and upon man nahaja nahjahum, and those who follow their methodology, upon the aqidah of the A'immat al-Arba, upon the aqidah of Imam Ahmed, upon the aqidah of Imam Shafi'i, upon the aqidah of Imam Malik, upon the aqidah of the Sufyanain. Who are the Sufyanain? Sufyan al-Thawri and Sufyan? Upon the aqidah. Upon the aqidah of the Hammadain. Who are the Hammadain? Hammad ibn Zayd and Hammad ibn Salama. Upon the aqidah of Awza'i. Upon the aqidah of Shabi. Upon the aqidah of Sa'id ibn Jubair. Sa'id ibn Musayyib. Upon this aqidah, this correct belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, umuman, and more specifically in what we're dealing with today, and in the coming weeks, upon the correct iman in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next issue that is mentioned in this muqaddimah is the station of this topic in the deen. In this chapter, the station of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is that it is has high station. وَالتَّوْحِيدُ الْخَالِصِ مِنْ شَائِبَ الشِّرْكُ وَالْبِدَعَ لَيْ يَتِمْ لِلْعَبْدِ. So the individual cannot fully have the correct establishment of tawheed, of pure tawheed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, free from shirk and bid'ah, except by establishing what? The names, and having correct belief in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from the benefits, number one, of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
is that it allows the individual to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to worship him. Because as Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that ibadah cannot be established ala al-wajhi al-akmal, that worship, servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be established in its correct and perfect form except by establishing and having correct belief in iman in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, from the benefits of studying the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which indicates and shows the important station of this ilm in the deen of al-Islam, is that it increases the individual in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That increases the individual in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by increasing the individual in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the individual obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the individual attains the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say that if you love Allah, then follow me and Allah will love you. And by having iman in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allows the individual to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, مَنْ عَرَفَ بِهِ أَحَبَّهُ وَمَنْ عَرَفَ الدُّنْيَا وَغُرُورِهَا زَهِدَ فِيهَا. Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, whoever knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever has ma'rif of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loves Allah. He will love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَآثَرَ مَا أَحَبَّهُ اللَّهُ. And he will choose that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves in obedience. And the one who knows the essence of this dunya, the one who knows the essence of this world and its deception, will abstain from it. The one who really knows the essence of this dunya will abstain from it. So the one who knows Allah will love him. How can one know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Umuman, generally, in that which no one can differ. No one in this dunya can differ. There is only three ways that you can have this ma'rifah. There's only three ways that you can have this knowledge, or general knowledge, I should say. The first is by tajriba. The first is by experience. You've experienced it before, so you know it. Fire is hot. You've put your hand in the fire, accidentally, I hope. And you know it burns. So by your experience in touching fire, you know that fire is cold or hot. You know it's what? Hot. That's one way. The second is by seeing it. You have knowledge of something by seeing it. So you know how, for example, a Mercedes looks like. Because you've what? Seen it. And this is possible or not possible? It's possible. The third way to get to know something is by divine revelation. It's by divine revelation. These are the only three ways in order for you to attain ilm on something. As for the names of Allah, as for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be tajriba? Khibra? Abadan. By experience? No. Can we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By seeing him? Is that possible? Lan tarani. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not see me in this world. So it's not going to happen. So the only one left is what? Al-Wahi. The only one left is the revelation. And that is the only way that one can get the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the wahi, through the book of Allah and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man arafa rabbahu ahabbahu. So the only way for you, ya akhi, the only way for you, ya ukhti, to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by having the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only way you can have that is by what? The revelation, his names and his attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that shows the station of this ilm. Don't belittle it, ya ikhwan. Don't belittle this ilm. It's muhim. It has a high station in your ibadah. It has a high station in your knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there is no way you can have the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illa bihi, except by it. The next benefit from the muqaddimah of Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala is when he categorized dua. He categorized dua. He said that dua, he categorized dua ila qismain. He categorized dua or supplications, as it would, into two categories. Dua al-mas'ala, the first one, and dua al-ibadah, the second. Dua al-mas'ala is that dua pertaining to request. Dua al-mas'ala is that dua pertaining to request. In that you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya ar-razak irzuqni, all provider, provide for me. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bil-lisanik, with your tongues, and you ask Allah. This is dua al-mas'ala. And the second is dua al-ibadah. Is dua al-ibadah. And dua al-ibadah is that supplication pertaining to your actions, as it were. Meaning that you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a Sami' wa huwa Sami' al-Basir. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearing. So you do not speak except for that which is pleasing to Him to hear. So your action is ibadah pertaining to His attribute, His name, as Sami'. His name what? As Sami'. Fahimtum? So for example, you make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is dua mas'ala or dua al-ibadah. You repent to Allah. Okay, I'll say it again. I just wanted to find out if you got me. I'll say it again. Dua al-mas'ala is when you ask, you make dua. The supplication that we're generally acquainted with. Oh Allah, provide me this. This is mas'ala from su'al, from question, request. Talab. Okay? And the second one is dua al-ibadah. Okay? And that supplication is supplication linguistically, as it would, but not as what we know, but it's dealing with the actions of the ibad. He's dealing with our actions. So for example, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to His what? His names. So for example, we follow the guidance because He's who? The guide. Al-Hadi. Sah? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us, we follow the guidance. So by following the guidance, by following the way of the sunnah, by following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is dua al-ibadah. You are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He is the one who guides, so you're following His what? Guidance. He's the one who forgives, so you ask Him for? He's the one who is all wise, huh? So you behave in wisdom. You behave in wisdom. So this is dua al-ibadah. So who can tell me what is dua al-mas'ala? Dua al-mas'ala. Okay, what is the supplication as it pertains to request? Now, when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? And dua al-ibadah is from your what? Actions, your ibadah, your worships, which are linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's what? Names. So the person who truly has iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being al-khaliq, who does he worship? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has iman that Allah is the creator. So therefore he what? He worships Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has the knowledge that Allah is a Sami', that Allah hears everything. So does he speak with that which displeases Allah? No. Man yu'minu billah wal yawmil akhir. Man yu'minu biman? Billah wal yawmil akhir. Falyakulish khayran aw liyasmut. In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever believes in Allah in the last day, whoever believes in Allah in the last day, then let him speak what? A good word or remain silent. So he believes in Allah because from Allah sifat is a sami', he hears, and his name is what? The all hearings. So he acts in accordance to that name. He acts in accordance to that what? Name. So that's what the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala is mentioning. And he, inshallah ta'ala, after that, we'll leave it at that for today, inshallah. After that, he goes into the first qaida, the first principle, as it relates to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many principles does he give for names of Allah? How many principles for the sifat? Seven. So the first principle he mentions for the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Asma'ullahi ta'ala kulluha husna. That all of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of it is what? The most beautiful. The most beautiful. And inshallah ta'ala, we will do this, bi'idhnillah, next week, bi'idhnillah. And we'll try and deal with a qa'idah or two qa'idahs each lesson, inshallah. And we should finish by the end of the summer, inshallah, bi'idhnillah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam. Mubarak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Any questions?